Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you for tuning into the program. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted Ross at the controls. Chris is at the phones. And we always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you. And what we like to focus on day by day is how we can connect faith to life every day. How do we apply biblical principles to daily life? But we also want to continue to bring awareness of needs around not only our nation, but around the world. And a reminder where God's at work or where we need to be gathering in prayer for that work to be taking place. And Ted, when we had originally scheduled our guest today, we wanted to talk about prayer and get a bit about his life story. But as it turns out, he has traveled to Texas to the scene of that terrible shooting this weekend.
Yeah, down in Sutherland Springs. Yeah. It was horrible just yesterday.
Well, just west of, or just a few miles outside of San Antonio, I think. Mm-hmm. A small town and a church there where at least 26 people were killed and 20 others wounded. And so we're looking forward to getting a firsthand report today, and more importantly, then an opportunity for us to, as God's people, gather and pray.
Yeah, right? He's talking about praying with people affected by this terrible shooting, and also we'll be talking about the movement that God is doing in New York City, where Demas is from. So I look forward to this.
Well, Demas Salaberrios is my guest for the next few minutes, pastor of Affinity Bible Church. He founded that in partnership with Tim Keller and Redeemer City to City in the South Bronx in New York. He's a pastor, teacher, speaker, worldwide missionary. He also directs the Greater New York Concerts of Prayer and has got a heart for prayer and for pastoring. And we connect today, he is in actually Sutherland Springs, Texas, small towns about 40 miles southeast of San Antonio, where First Baptist Church is the scene of terrible carnage. Demas, it is good to talk with you again, but these are sad circumstances in which we get together.
Yeah, it's a real sad day for the body of Christ, and you know, to be here on the scene when you see the size of this church, just imagine two or three classrooms kind of jammed together, and that's the extent of this church. And for someone to go in with an armed gun and to release, you know, as many rounds as this guy did, over 40 something people shot, this is a sad day, you know, and a lot of pain and hurt here.
I was just looking at some of the reports. The county sheriff said, I mean, it's just, he said it was so difficult to see because there were you know, those killed range from young children to seniors. And he said, when you see babies, you see, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds, he said, it's just hard. And I'm sure that this community is really reeling today.
Yeah, I had the privilege. I've been praying with the pastor, Pastor Frank and his wife, all morning, and been encouraging the congregation and you know, led the country in prayer. I was the guy that they had asked and said, would you, you know, do this prayer for us? And, you know, we're trying to keep the focus as best we can on Jesus and trying to comfort Pastor Frank and his parishioners, because this is tough. I mean, he lost his 14-year-old daughter, and you could see the commitment that this man has to Christ. And, you know, people ask me, why did you come? And you're coming down from New York. You know, I wrote a book called Street God, and people have said it has encouraged their faith tremendously. And when I read, you know, I mean, when I read the news and heard about it last night, we drove as fast as we could to the airport and had to fly into Austin and then drive over to here this morning. And I just feel like that's John 13:35, where Jesus says the world will know that we're his disciples by our love one for another. And we got to really begin to show that more and more. And I'm praying that this doesn't be a continuum of a trend.
Yeah. Demas, when you when you lead the pastor and those parishioners, those grieving families in prayer, you know, I think we feel like we're at a loss for words, and maybe that's okay not to have all the words to say. But what are you thinking first and foremost when you pray?
I mean, this is one of those moments where you really lean on the Holy Spirit, and you got to go with your heart, and you got to have wisdom. You know, honestly, I just hugged them and just, you know, sort of like wept with them. You know, like the scripture says, weep with those who are weeping, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. So I kind of go with their mood, particularly in the genesis of just the first contact. And then I just say, hey, I want to pray for your strength. And after a little while, I remind them, you know, I said, listen, I know this is hard, but these are one of the rare moments when you can shine your light brighter than any other opportunity you had in your life to the nation. And when you get on that microphone, lift up Jesus, you know, and I don't try to be like many other leaders that, you know, get all political and stuff. No, our focus is Jesus. I also remind them of those that healed. You know, I was in every major shooting that's happened, from Charleston, South Carolina with Dylan Roof. I was in Tennessee for that shooting, and now here, there's no major church shooting I've missed, and part of that is really sad, but the reality is, you know, I can tell them, those that don't forgive, they go downhill, and those that lean on forgiveness, and they're reminded that our Savior went through something similar, you know, in dying a brutal death, premature death to some, and that needs to give us comfort to also forgive and to share his love.
Demonts, I think we always, you know, times like this, just we're asking the why questions, and, you know, maybe it's too early to even come up with answers. Of course, the news reports are all looking for, well, what's the motive? What, you know, is behind this? You know, there's a lot of aspects of life in general that there's no answers on this side of eternity for the whys.
Yeah, if I could speak to that, I've noticed an ongoing theme with each and every shooting. With the survivors of the Emmanuel 9, they said his eyes were so black, and you could see the demons that were existing in him. Tennessee heard the same thing. Here, I know it's the same thing. The man already has stated, his friends or neighbors have stated that over and over again, he said, I hate religion. I hate them. I hate all of them. So we know, you know, that that's the root of that darkness, that wickedness of heart. The enemy is Satan is looking for a heart full of hate that he could fill and possess. And I can speak on this from also personal experience. In my story, when I was a kingpin drug dealer, I did not know I was full of demons, but I had a hatred towards righteousness. And until people prayed for me and the power of God released me, and Tim Keller and them, they said, Demas, explain this really well, because some people don't understand demons and stuff, but they said, you need to always say very clearly, you are a prime candidate for demon possession, which I was. And it was the power of God that set me free. And I know, you know, that that's real and that exists. But in the power of God is all we have to set us free from that.
It does seem that in these days there is an increase in, I guess, the viciousness of evil, or it's more in the forefront. And as you say, you know, the enemy is looking for hearts full of hate to fill. It's easy to sort of point out, satanic influence in every possible situation, but it does seem more clear that the enemy is much more active today, at least in our country and literally around the globe.
Oh, man. Yeah, I said this a little while ago that just reminds us, church persecution and things like this happen, but it hasn't happened a lot in the U.S. And that's been our prayer, you know, big time. Don't let that come to our home, but it seems like we're living in a new reality, and I want to encourage all believers, be serious about your relationship with Christ. We're going to church right now. We have got to be serious about our relationship with Christ. We cannot be light and joke, and, you know, we have to know that we know that we know that we have a relationship with our Savior, and we have to really walk boldly with Him and realize, not, you know, the fragility of our humanity, you know, that another day is not promised to us.
Dimas, I know you're a husband and a father, and, you know, you're there at this church where, you know, families were gunned down. I mean, you know, parents losing children, children losing parents. I mean, you know what terrible heartbreak they must be going through right now. You know, there may be others listening today that are in their own sort of a heartbreak. What words of encouragement would you offer here in these moments?
I would encourage anybody that's, you know, going through these hardships to know that, you know, all throughout Scripture, great men and women have perished and have become martyrs. And I remember at least three of the Emmanuel Nine, and actually almost every one of the Emmanuel Nine shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, God prepared them in advance that day was coming. Several of them just started turning to family members like, take out a will. I mean, the woman was 30. I don't know why, but take out a will. Or I want to instruct you what to do if something happens to me. Over and over again, we actually are doing a movie on this that'll be coming out in the fall. It'll be coming out in June of next year. And the movie's called Emmanuel. And the guys who worked on The Passion of Christ, Arbella Studios, Empower, were all involved. This is a big budget film that elevates Jesus, because when those families forgave, the world did not know how to handle it, because it makes no human sense. And they explain, without giving away totally the movie, Jesus entered that courtroom and began to switch the hardest hearts into a heart of forgiveness. So God does not leave us in our situations, but God is with us through it all, and we need to know that.
Dimas Solivarios, pastor of Affinity Bible Church, and he is a national speaker, pastor, teacher, worldwide missionary who shared the gospel in every continent except Antarctica. And as he said, he's in Sutherland Springs, Texas right now at the First Baptist Church, where the terrible bloodbath occurred here this weekend. A 26-year-old man killed at least 26, wounded 20 others. And this church is reeling, this community is reeling, and he's there to pray with the families and to grieve with them. And we're talking prayer today with Dimas. We're going to continue the conversation in just a moment. I want to encourage you to stay tuned. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Listening to Connecting Faith. Today we've connected with Dimas Solivarios. Dimas is a pastor, a teacher, a speaker, a worldwide missionary. He is, among other things, he's aided pastors in Kenya. He's smuggled Bibles to persecuted the church in China. He's ignited revival in New Zealand. He's been a powerful ministry, in fact, that he has gone to the locations where there are church shootings, and he has been a voice of comfort and encouragement and prayed with the pastors and those family members that are grieving as these tragedies have happened around the country. And, of course, it was just outside of San Antonio, 40 miles southeast of San Antonio, that Sutherland Springs was rocked by a terrible shooting in the at First Baptist Church, and still trying to just understand what's going on there. DeMoss has told his story in the book Street God, the explosive true story of a former drug boss and the run from the hood and the courageous mission that drove him back. He started a church in the South Bronx in New York City, in the kind of the old neighborhood where he was. But DeMoss, maybe before we talk a little bit more about prayer, he also leads a Greater New York Concerts of Prayer. I think it'd probably be appropriate if you would just take a moment. Would you lead us in prayer on behalf of those families, those grieving families in Texas today?
Father God, I just pray for Pastor Frank and the associate pastors and his wife. And Lord, I pray for Sarah, Lord, who has 8 funerals to plan, God. She lost 8 family members on yesterday, God. And Father, we just are overwhelmed by the horror that was poured out, God. But Father, we are grateful that even from the words of the pastor, he said, almost all those that I heard have deep convictions with Christ, God, and know you as Lord and Savior. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would help the families, all those that struggle with premature death, God. But, Father, we know, Lord, they will have a more glorious resurrection like you lay out in your scriptures, God. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that this would have the furtherance of the gospel. I pray that people would abandon false religions and other religions, God, that drive people to do these types of shootings, God. And I pray that they would just open their hearts to you, Jesus. And Lord, I join in with every listener. Father, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us all, Lord, to lift up this church, Lord, First Baptist. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, DeMoss, so much for that. And I know that you have, over the years, your pastoring and ministry have had the opportunity to see God do amazing work through prayer. I'm interested, maybe before we talk a bit about more of your story, talk about the importance of praying together in concert. I mean, maybe even people don't even know what concerts of prayer means, but talk about the significance of the corporate prayer.
Yeah, there's been time and time again, people could see when we united as a church in New York City, according to Bill Hybels, Tim Keller, Rick Warren, many others, the church in New York City is the most diverse church and the most united that most of them said they have seen around the world. And we're humble about that. But once the church united together, the homicides in New York City started to drop down to such low numbers that you barely see it on the news today. You know, we have made through prayer the news in New York is boring, and we sing hallelujah to that. And we're helping right now with bringing these churches together to do things together, minister together. We do evangelistic projects together. We don't fight against each other. And the other beautiful piece that's come out of this is we don't hear or have a lot of pastors in New York that have had moral failures, because there's a network of pastors working together, not as enemies, but as brothers, and confessing their sins one to another. And every year we get together for 3 days on a pastor's retreat, and it's not New York focused. Any pastor or leader that's even listening now, they can come. Just look up Concerts of Prayer, Greater New York. A guy who all of us know, George Barner, is going to be there, several leaders in New York. And we're praying for our nation and for the country and for deep needs and talking to each other about our home lives and our prayer lives and our ministries. And this is one of the only conferences, not only, but very rare, where people talk about the pastor's home life as a subject of importance. How do you manage your home? How do you manage your kids? How's your relationship with your wife? And over again, we get reports of man, I almost thought of giving up, almost thought of divorcing, but coming here has inspired me and has blessed me and my wife to walk again and kick the enemy out of our home. So it's real important that we do that. And we love to see that happen in more cities, and we help cities to do that. So any city that wants this done, just reach out to us. We're easy to find. Just Google Concerts of Prayer, Greater New York. We're the first thing that shows up. Email it. It comes right to my secretary or my assistant and other staff, and it gets directly to me. And we love to help, you know, churches be stronger all around this country.
DeMoss, how did it start or keep going? Were you able to convince just a couple other pastors to say, you know, we're not competing here. We need to come together and pray. I mean, it's one thing to say it and sounds like a good idea, but how did it actually sort of sustain itself?
Yeah, it started with a champion by the name of David Bryant.
Sure.
Who can talk about Jesus better than anybody I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
He is Jesus out. That's all he studied. And then it moved to another leader named Mac Peer, and then a guy named Gary Frost, and then it came to me. So it's been going on for 30 years now. And I kind of grew up in it. I don't know how they let me in. I snuck in as a youth leader and been a part of it ever since. And it was the first time I've seen, like, Black pastors, Asian pastors, Spanish, Latino pastors, white pastors, all hanging together and loving each other and supporting each other. It's so beautiful that it becomes contagious, and we fight to keep it pure. So we don't, you know, make it into 1,000 commercials of different ministries, and we keep a very laser focus. It's on strengthening relationships between pastors and leaders.
Amen.
Period. So if you want to learn all the cool new techniques, there's other conferences for that. You can go to that. This is not the one. But if you want to build yourself up as a leader and unite with your brothers all around the nation, this is what the Pastor's Prayer Summit is all about, with Concerts of Prayer.
DeMoss Salaberrios is my guest. We're going to take a little break and come back and talk more. DeMoss is a pastor, a teacher, a worldwide missionary among his opportunities he's had. He's aided pastors in Kenya and around the globe. He smuggled Bibles to the persecuted church in China. We're going to talk a little bit about yesterday was the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. We'll get some of his thoughts on that. He's been part of a revival in New Zealand. He's worked in Haiti. He's partnered with Tim Keller, Redeemer City to City, founded Infinity Church, planted in the Bronx River Housing Project. He was active on the Billy Graham Crusade in New York, coordinated the Billy Graham Prayer Breakfast during the Saturday evening service. The Crusade spoke to an audience of 100,000. He's written, his story is told in the book Street God, the explosive true story of former drug boss and the run from the hood and the courageous mission that drove him back. He's my guest today. He's actually in Sutherland Springs, Texas right now at First Baptist Church, praying for those that have been rocked by the terrible shooting over the weekend. And we'll talk more with DeMoss in a moment. Stay tuned.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Church, we need your power in us. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands.
Well, that is certainly DeMoss Salaberrios' prayer. That God would heal our land, and it starts on our streets. In fact, DeMoss grew up on the streets in the Bronx. He ended up starting a church in the South Bronx in the neighborhood where he grew up, or at least in the housing projects. He was a street god, as his story is told, about a former drug boss. And God got a hold of his life. transformed him. He, among other things, pastors a church, but he travels around the globe, and he is, has a special heart for praying for those that, that have been affected by church shootings, as terrible as that has been, and we just have another one. And so we're talking to him today from Sutherland Springs in Texas, at the First Baptist Church there. Damas is also president of Concerts of Prayer Greater New York. Damas, you know, just that little song, Build Your Kingdom, Lord, just talks about needing hope in our hearts. And I'm just wondering, that that's maybe one of the challenges for Christians today, isn't it? That we are, we can get bogged down by the news and all the bad news. And just say a word about the importance of hope.
You know, I think as the body of Christ, I just want to remind your listeners, sometimes we sit back and we wait for Blue Shield, maybe not Blue Shield, but we wait for all these groups to kind of go in. And statistics have shown that the bulk of those the majority of those that volunteer to do that are Christians. Christians were always the first responders to the Black Plague, to fires, to every devastating thing that's happened. But for some reason, we sort of have passed that over to what we call the experts, when the church is still today the experts. So I want to encourage you to be used by God to shine your light in these situations. No one knows how to minister from the genesis of being born into this world to the time people depart at the cemetery. No organization in the world does that better than the body of Christ. So we are a major part of the answer, and we have a big role to play in this endeavor of serving the needs of the brokenness of our cities and suburbs and locations around the world. So I want you to have hope, to get engaged, get involved. God will tell you what to do. Don't, sometimes I go in total faith, like, okay, God, I have no idea what's going to happen when I get there. And I'm telling you over and over again, Jesus shows up and says, you know what, son? Get a generator. Do this. Go forward like that. Pray with these people over here. And every single time, the Lord shows up powerfully. And he's going to, and he'll, I totally believe he'll do it with you. He's looking for open hearts and open hands.
Damas, I know that, you know, you have a special place in your heart for those that are caught up in drugs and life on the streets. You lived that way for, yeah, for many years. The church is in, was in a housing project and got started. I know you've done prayer walks in the neighborhoods there and other places around the country. Talk about the significance of just maybe believing that God's going to answer prayer and putting your faith in practice by actually walking the neighborhoods.
You know, I learned from George Mueller, you know, reading his biography, that he explained that a hour in prayer is far more effective than a full day's work. Now, with the balance of course, we got to work. But sometimes we have to really concentrate and look at the power that we have when we cry out to God. I always surround myself with people that I call champions of prayer, and that encourages me, because it's so easy to begin to rely on your talents and your abilities and your capacity, when the truth is I know I am nothing without Jesus. I was a ruthless drug dealer. I broke my mother's heart and sold drugs, and three women went towards the largest drug dealer in their city. And when they laid hands on me and prayed, I felt evil depart out of my body, and I took complete allegiance with Jesus. These were not big name people. These were just women of prayer. And it started with their little prayer group. And then they felt the nudge from God to go and pray for the biggest drug dealer. Imagine what that would be like as Christians, if we started to just target who runs the pornography industry in our city, who runs, you know, the drugs in our city, who's the biggest enemy to the gospel in our city, and then they go and say, could we pray for you? I'm telling you, I think we would see a completely different nation, and I think we'd be blown away by what God can do. And, you know, and I mean, I wrote that story out as best I could. You know, thank God for Tyndale for publishing the book Street God. And if you want to be encouraged, I mean, right now it's in 5 languages, and I'm not here bragging, but it's just there's an overwhelming need for a very real story where people's faith gets ignited by what God is doing. And to once again say, without God's mercy, I know I would be dead. 30 of my friends were killed in this story, 30 of them. And the only difference when the hitman came to me with a gun to blow off my head is that I knew Jesus. And when I prayed, every time that guy pulled the trigger to execute me, you would hear a snap, but you would no bullet came out of that gun. No, it wasn't a safety issue either. The power of God, he gets all the glory, stopped that gun from firing, but that same gun worked on somebody else a day and a half later. So I know the power of prayer, and I want to encourage you to be praying. And mothers, don't give up on your sons. Fathers, don't give up on your children that may have gone astray. Pray them through like my mother prayed me through when all hope looked lost. So I just wanted to encourage you with that.
Damas, yesterday was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. You've had experience smuggling Bibles to persecuted believers. Talk about maybe how that encounter, those encounters, has changed your life, and how might you encourage us to be praying, you know, for brothers and sisters that are facing persecution as well as heartache today, like in Sutherland Springs?
I mean, just look at how profound this situation is. On the day to pray for the persecuted church, we have faced persecution as the Church of America yesterday. I mean, that is deep when you think about that. And I love to visit the persecuted church, visit the persecuted church in Egypt right after the Arab uprising, smuggled Bibles to the persecuted church in China, you know. And when you meet their faith and love for Jesus, it's so convicting. They will sit and listen to 6 hours of preaching or just plain Bible reading. You know, I mean, they want it. And the truth is, we get a little spoiled with it. You know, we need, I think there's so much we can learn from the faith of those that face persecution daily. There are many that you meet that, you know, I'm probably not going to see this person again. Not because I'm not going to come to this city again, but many of them know I'm going to probably perish for my love for Christ. And our team goes into Syria, Iraq, Gaza, you know, most of Afghanistan. We target these persecuted places. My role is more United States, but other members of our team go all around the world. And I just want to encourage you. I mean, our life for Christ, let's pour it out for Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, I think that's what this should be calling us to, right? That this is the day to be, as you say, be serious about your relationship with Christ, right? There's should be no holding back here today.
No, I think you hit it on the head. You know, I hope. I mean, my dream is that the church would love like it's never loved before, love each other. To really, really love each other. Not just, all right, you know, we're in our routine. Break the routine. Smash boring Christianity if it ever gets boring. Be used by God as much as you can. And I know I'm unique in a sense that, you know, I run sometimes into these fiery situations. And part of that is calling and wiring and a bunch of different things. But if you can't run in, send others in, you know, send others in. I got people that I would not be here right now in San Antonio. I had to make a call to someone and say, hey, would you help me with a flight? Had to call someone else and say, hey, would you help me with a hotel? Had to call somebody else and say, hey, Would you, you know, would you help me on the ground? I need a car. And somebody out here said, I'll give you my car. You know, we don't try to exploit these situations to build more finance for our ministries. That's not what this is about. This is about Jesus. This is about loving people. This is about God over money. That's what this is about. And I pray that spreads widely, you know, that we love God and we're not out here trying to succeed in the world's eyes. No, we're about the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and making his name known and introducing people to him. When I was there, a councilman came and grabbed my arm and said, would you pray for me? Right in front of everyone on national TV, he said, I'm broken right now. And I prayed for him while cameras were snapping all around us, you know, but that took a sense of humility, and he saw his need for Jesus. And that's what I pray would spread wildly. As you can see, I love Jesus. I'm talking about him. Maybe that's David Bryan and Tim Keller's effect on me. I love Jesus.
I would say. bless all your efforts today and your team. And we think about, you know, David and Mac Pierre and others. We didn't even have time to talk about Movement Day, and we'll get you back to talk about that as well. But I would encourage people to go to, you know, just Google Concerts of Prayer, Greater New York Concerts of Prayer, and you can find out about the ministry opportunities there, about this conference coming up, DeMoss Pastors Infinity Bible Church. He founded it with Tim Keller in Redeemer City to City in South Bronx. He teaches around the globe, and he's with us today reporting in from Sutherland Springs, Texas, at First Baptist Church there, where he's just sharing the love of Jesus and challenging us to do the same. DeMoss, it's so good to talk with you again. Blessings to you. Have a great opportunity to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus for as long as you can stay there in Texas.
Hey, God bless you and your great work in getting the gospel out.
All right. We'll talk again. DeMoss Salaberrios joining us here on Connecting Faith. Listening to Connecting Faith. In the past half hour or so, we had the opportunity to connect with DeMoss Salaberrios from Infinity Bible Church in New York City. And he has his story told in the powerful book called Street God, the explosive true story of a former drug boss and the run from the hood and the courageous mission that drove him back. And I encourage you, if you are looking for a story of inspiration and transformation, that is definitely one you want to pick up from Tyndale House. He's also directs the New York City Concerts of Prayer and has a real passion for prayer. Our next guest has a passion, among other things, lots of passions, I think, but she is passionate about helping us stay healthy and getting healthy so that we can more effectively serve the Lord, whatever God has equipped and called us to do. And so she's authored books like Sleep Well Again and Overcoming Back and Neck Pain and Diabetes, Are You at Risk? And, you know, it's not what you eat, it's what eats you. And we're going to talk about getting healthy for heaven's sake with Lisa Marone, physical therapist, professor, and author. And she joins us every other Monday. Of course, she has a Monday morning health tip. And so we're going to talk tips today with Lisa. Welcome back to Connecting Faith, Lisa.
Great to be with you, Neil. Shout out to New Yorkers today, huh?
Yes, that's right. We're talking. We ended up talking New York via South Texas, so that was good.
Oh, but did you really?
We
East Coast vibe via the Southwest.
We want to talk today. In fact, I jokingly said before the show that I was going to do this part of the program standing up, because we're going to talk a little bit about leg pain today, and I know that's a real issue for lots of people. I'm sure you see a lot of clients that have that problem.
I do, Neil. Every week I have patients who have come, and one of their primary issues is they have pain that just radiates down their leg, and they're coming to me to try to figure out what's the cause, how do they get rid of it, and what can they do to avoid it coming up.
And are there, I mean, is it generally just one or two things, or could it be a multiple possibilities?
You know, there's a whole host of reasons why people can have pain in the leg. And the first thing, of course, we want to figure out is it radiating pain that's coming from somewhere more central, like the low back or the pelvic girdle, and radiating into the leg? Or do we actually have true hip pain, knee pain, or ankle pain that's radiating up into the calf or down the back of the thigh? But once we figure that out, there are certain questions that I need to ask my patients, because they help me in figuring out what's wrong with them by their answers. And so one of the first things I ask them is, tell me when your leg pain occurs. Because some people's leg pain will occur when they're sitting. They're perfectly fine when they're standing and walking, but their leg pain becomes an issue when they're sitting. And vice versa, some people sit really comfortably, but if they're standing for a long time or perhaps walking for discrete distances, that's when their pain comes on. And so that's an important question, Neil. And another question I ask is, what relieves their pain in their leg? Because that also is going to give me an idea of what's going on. So meanwhile, if someone has pain when they're walking, if they tell me, you know, if I stop and bend forward at the waist, that takes it away, or I have to go lay down, that's going to give me some information. Because really, Neil, I'm trying to tease out between, is there a muscle pressing on a nerve that's sending pain down the leg? Is there a disc issue that's at hand? Is there a pelvic joint, your sacroiliac joint, in play? Or is there a vascular problem? So there's pretty much four different categories. Once I've decided it's not hip, knee, or ankle pain that's radiating, it's coming from the pelvic or the low back. So that's where we go. We can discuss each one of those.
Yeah, let's jump in. So if it's, you know, maybe a nerve issue, let's maybe start with that. What are some options there?
Yeah, you know, one thing that everyone can label their pain as is as sciatica. It's kind of an overused garbage pail word. Oh,
yes.
I have the sciatica. It's going down my leg. And there is a sciatic nerve in everybody's leg, and it does puncture sometimes through and off most of the time underneath a muscle in the buttock region that's called your piriformis muscle. And so true sciatica, not just all pain in the leg, but true sciatica is coming because that piriformis muscle is in spasm, and it is pressing on the sciatic nerve and radiating pain down the leg. Now, here's the trick to that, Neil. Piriformis tightness and spasm is not the original cause. The original cause actually is two steps earlier. Your piriformis muscle becomes tight and in spasm because your glute maximus muscle in the buttock region is weak, and your glute maximus muscle becomes weak because there's some joint dysfunction in the underlying sacroiliac joint. So if someone has true sciatica, they can stretch their piriformis muscle all day and all night, but it's going to continue to reoccur until they go to someone who can fix that sacroiliac joint for them and then strengthen up their glute maximus muscle, and then they can be resolved of that true sciatica.
Well, mentioning glute max muscles, let's talk about muscles. I mean, leg pain can be a muscle issue as well, right?
Yeah, so we can have those. Any pain that's going to be in the leg, the muscle's going to go into spasm. And so what most people will complain of is an aching in their hamstring or an aching in their calf, and they believe that it's coming from the hamstring or from the calf. It's just the body's response to pain. So pain in an area is going to make the muscle spasm. But the second reason why someone might have pain down their leg that would make those muscles ache would be a bulging or herniated disc in their low back region. And so that aggravation in the disc can radiate pain into the leg as far down as into the foot. And so that's something when someone has pain and they tell me that when I'm sitting for long periods of time, that's when the pain comes on. And when they tell me, Neil, that when I ask them what's the habit of that pain during the day, and they tell me my pain is worse in the morning, it's better midday, and then it gets worse as the evening goes on. Those are telltale signs that we have a disc problem that's creating that leg pain.
Can we do anything about a herniated or bulging disc?
Good question. A fully herniated disc, we actually cannot do anything about. Our bodies need to heal that herniation because there has been a breach in the wall of the disc itself. But a bulging disc is really a great situation for someone who knows how to treat disc problems, because when it is contained and it is just a bulge, there are certain exercises, I have them laid out in my book, Overcoming Back and Neck Pain, that you can do for yourself that can actually reduce that disc bulge and produce healing. So that's a really great way that we can have, we can take part in our own self-care.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that some of it could, as you mentioned, joints or just structure, I mean, that could be a factor as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Another structure that can be a problem is an issue called stenosis. Now, stenosis is something that happens when there is a narrowing, either in the spinal cord or in the columns where the spinal nerves come out the side. So it's either lateral stenosis or central stenosis. And that's a condition that oftentimes has an arthritic component. Sometimes you can have stenosis because of a bulge or herniated disc in the way. But, Neil, the situation with spinal stenosis is going to be these patients love to sit down. They feel very comfortable sitting down. And standing up is not so bad, but they get worse when they're walking. And so we need to be able to tease out those different situations, because there's going to be different treatments for a spinal stenosis patient who likes to be in flexion or bent forward, and a bulging disc patient whose healing is actually in the realm of extension. An interesting thing, the fourth thing, Neil, that can happen to create leg pain, usually happening in the older population, is something called intermittent claudication, and it looks very much like stenosis in that your leg pain comes on when you've been walking a long time, and it's relieved when you stop, bend forward, or you sit down for a rest. But the way that I tease out the difference between the two of those, Neil, is that the intermittent claudication, which is actually a circulation issue, if someone is walking and their pain is produced, but I put them on a bicycle where they're in a seated position, which is a bent forward position, and they're biking and they're using the same musculature, but they don't get pain in their legs, then I know that I have a stenotic issue in front of me rather than intermittent claudication. And so that's a great way to tease out the two of those things.
I guess the bottom line is, if we're experiencing some sort of, you know, leg pain, to be just, I guess, aware, do a little self-diagnosis before we see our doctor or therapist, right, to kind of get some ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I wrote this Monday morning health tip. I believe it was a week or so ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But this is really important that we have an idea. And when you go to the doctors, you need to be able to tell them when you feel your pain and what relieves your pain. So we want to know what exacerbates it and what relieves it. That's going to help your doctor figure out what's going on. They may run an x-ray. It's always important. There's always, you know, that very rare possibility that there's something bad going on in your spine, and your doctor may want to take a look at it, and they're going to ask you a whole lot more questions. So once you've cleared that out, if you find a good pair of healing hands, be it a physical therapist, an osteopathic doctor, a chiropractor, who'll be able to help you heal, then your leg pain can go back to where it began, back in the spine, and it doesn't have to show up in the leg anymore.
Well, we love that because, as you know, as you say and you speak, I mean, this is about, you know, being, you know, not living with pain so that we can be healthy for advancing God's kingdom. And, you know, we want to live life to the fullest as long as we can.
Absolutely. You know, very few people are involved in ministry with shooting pains down their legs. So
yeah,
that really hampers our serve. So let's get well, for heaven's sake.
I love it. Lisa Marone, physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, talking about getting healthy for heaven's sake. Sign up for her Monday morning health tip. It's a great opportunity for you to get some encouragement. You can also check out her book, Overcoming Back and Neck Pain. But go to lisamarone.com for more. lisamarone.com. Lisa joining us every other Monday here on Connecting Faith. Thank you so much for tuning in today and joining us on today's program. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.